Hey guys, and welcome to the Abundance Alchemist Podcast. I'm Caitlin Dorsey, an abundance alchemist, animal lover, trauma survivor to thriver, mindset expert, self-love junkie, and author. This is the place to be to grab those powerful tools, ideas, and inspiration to make lasting changes in yourself and your life. No more waiting, my friends, because it's time to show up unapologetically, radiate that confidence, and create a life you absolutely love. Time to buckle up and dive on in. Hello, my high-vibing friends. I'm so excited you're here. And as always, have an amazing guest to introduce. We're going to be talking to Bijoy John. He is a board-certified physician and practicing sleep specialist, currently in private practice with over 25 years of experience in pulmonary critical care and sleep medicine. He's based in Nashville, Tennessee, and he treats both children and adults with various sleep disorders. He's the founder and medical director of Sleep Wellness Clinics of America, offering in-person and online consultations, education, modern diagnostic modalities, home testing, and comprehensive treatment for a full spectrum of sleep disorders. He's also the founder of Sleep Fix Academy, which offers online courses, podcasts, and other resources to improve sleep quality. Well, welcome to the podcast.
Caitlin, thank you for having me.
Of course.
Sleep is such an underrated subject that I think my aim is to bring awareness to this field.
Absolutely. That is one of the reasons I wanted to have you. I feel like, you know, we know sleep is important, but we don't really prioritize sleep. So before we kind of dive into the sleep piece, I'd love for you to just share kind of how you got to doing what you're doing today.
Correct. So I've been in practice sleep medicine for 25 years. So I also did pulmonary critical care. So what happens is when you have like a lung problem or the ICU problem, those patients get precedence. Sleep problems are neglected. But over the years, you know, your philosophy changes. You want to be more in the, you're always reacting in the ICU. You know, I want to be proactive. Mm-hmm. And then sleep is the underlying foundation for a lot of problems, medical problems. So I thought, let's take this passion. So I just decided to write a book on it. It's called Nobody's Sleeping. And then it's coming on March 12th. And so I started my clinic 3 years ago. Then I'm seeing this, I'm a full-fledged, no part-time. This is my dedication. I'm seeing this pattern of patients with similar problems, and it's just escalating the number of consults and patients with a similar problem. I can't sleep. I can't stay asleep. So I said, man, we got to do, I can't see everybody. So that was my decision to take to the next level. So I started the Sleep Fix Academy. And also wrote this book to reach out to more people. So this is a 2 minute spiel of how I got here.
I love that. I love that you have a passion for it. And I think you're right. You know, obviously my field is more mental health and addiction, but I'm curious, I've started to see and kind of make a normal part of my intake with new clients, talking to them about their sleep and how much sleep they get on average and what that sleep hygiene looks like before. So I'm curious if we could start there of kind of what is the relationship between poor sleep and mental health?
That's a great question. It's a very it's simple but complicated. We heal in our sleep, right? When we go through REM sleep and also the deeper stages of non-REM sleep, we actually heal. So it's a vicious cycle I have to make everybody imagine. So poor sleep worsens anxiety, and anxiety worsens poor sleep. So people develop something called sleep anxiety. Same thing when you don't sleep well, your depression symptoms are also worse. So by healing and by just by sleeping better, you can heal better, right? So that's the important piece. With, you know, sleep is the superpower. I want more people to, you know, find it. I have my own troubles with sleep, but I found out over the years how to have the mastermind. So I've dedicated, you know, 25 years of work, and I came up with my 7 proven sleep strategies to help people. So there's no medication. Once you start sleeping better, you'll see your life changing. So I've discovered the joy, and I want to share with as many people as I can.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that that's so important to talk about, you know, how, it does impact, you know, depression and anxiety. I was literally talking to a client today, and they were just telling me their anxiety ramps up right at kind of bedtime, and they start to really have like suicidal thoughts in that time because they get so anxious, and then that depression creeps in too. So I think that there's such a challenge with that. And so I want to hear about how do we even start tackling the idea of having better sleep?
Right. So that is you're describing a condition called sleep anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know, so it shouldn't be like that. Sleep should be the healing thing, not creating more anxiety to people. Right. So that is very, very unfortunate. But we are here. So I call the sleep problem the new global pandemic, you know, so it's everywhere, all over the, I see clients from everywhere, and I'm traveling internationally to speak about this. So the challenge is, we all have our new best friend, which is our cell phone, right? So we are going to take whatever it takes to get on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to, where are the hours coming from? It comes from not sleeping much. Just imagine, Caitlin, 1 hour a night of lack of sleep for a week equals to lack of one whole night of sleep. Just think like that.
Wow. Right?
So you're walking on a sleep debt. All of us are walking on a sleep debt, but if you can just focus and just dedicate, 6, 7, or 8 hours of sleep, once you discover that path, you can be more energized. It's like a reboot or a boost. You know, it's like you have something, an amplifier to your whole system. Mm. You are like a superhuman being. The next day you achieve more by doing that. So that's my seven, proven sleep strategies. We can go over it as we go along. Just feel free to, ask, many more questions, and I will give it to the world. That's my aim my aim is to heal the world by teaching people to sleep better. How about that, Caitlin? That's
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Yes. I would love to hear about the seven proven sleep strategies. I feel like the thing that really just caught my ear is, how often do we hear that piece of oh, I'll catch up on sleep this weekend, or that sleep debt? You're right. It is kind of this pandemic. I can't remember the exact wording, but there's a word in Japanese that is basically the idea that people are killing themselves because they're overworking so much and decreasing their sleep so much that they're literally shutting down. Their bodies are shutting down and it's killing people. And it blows my mind.
Yes, that's called Niroshi.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yes, that's why we want the adrenaline, but the adrenaline is killing us, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, the sleep problems don't hurt, like a toothache, right? And it doesn't grow like a mole. So we just, it's okay. But, everybody says that I'm going to sleep when I die. I mean, I tell people, hey, you can go on this path. You're actually going to die sooner, right? So, the stress it puts on our other systems, I can detect anybody. Wrinkly skin, the baggy eyes, diabetes, uncontrolled hypertension, mental fog, dementia, you name it, the whole body, head to toe, is affected because of a lack of sleep. You're agitated, you're anxious, you're irritable. Think about all the errors that have happened, the global disasters that have happened at night. Look at what time the Titanic struck, what time the 3 Mile disaster happened, what time the Chernobyl, there's a lot of things. The cost to the United States government in 2017, despite people not showing to work, was $411 billion, right?
Oh,
this is not the accidents or any errors. This is just people not calling in sleep. I mean, I have employees and they just say they're tired. When you're not sleeping well, you're at risk for infection. That's another other set, and then you can have accidents. So we have to pay attention to sleep because that is a power. The challenge is to answer the question that you're asking, what is the problem? We live in a hustle culture, and sleep is one of those things that's a balance. It is contrary to the hustle culture. We can't hustle our way into sleep. We want sleep to be an on and off switch. It doesn't happen. We get on our phones, right? So this is one art that is slowly going away. And what's happening with a lot of people are having all these devices I call them the wearables, and it's creating more problems and more anxiety. People come to me and say, I don't have much REM sleep. I don't have N3 sleep. Nobody knows why you have that. They worry more and then they're less and less. So everybody's data mining. You just don't want to data mine into sleep. You can't data mine your way into sleep. That's one function. You cannot do it. It's not. It's contrary to the culture. So to answer the question, how we got here is because of the hustle culture. But, we can do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, it's just kind of the thought that popped in my head is I wonder what the research is of how much sleep medications have increased for people. Like you said, I want it immediately. Cause for me, my uncle passed away from sleeping because he took a medication and then woke up and we think he forgot to take it and took another one. And so people don't realize the dangers around what that quick, I need sleep right now, I'm going to take a sleep medication or things so that I can sleep, does, and how it impacts you. But it's just, yeah, I'm like wrapping my head around all these disasters that happened that you just shared too, of like, it makes so much sense. We can't cheat sleeping. Like, our bodies just cannot function correctly without it. So it is so incredibly important. I love you said that it's a superpower.
Yes. Yeah, so that behavior that you described is called automation. People forget. And and also some people mix it with alcohol. So when you mix alcohol and a sleeping pill and already on sleep deprived, 2 + 2, it doesn't equal to 4. It almost like 8, it multiplies. And the sleeping medicines is groggy. You feel tired the next day, you can't function. So it's got a significant side effects. Mm-hmm. So, I take people all the medications. I put them on this program. After 2 weeks, you start feeling better. I also developed the Sleep Now course. I have an acronym for the 7 Sleep. My daughter is in law school. She's like, Dad, you need an acronym. So I formed an acronym so people can just, learn and do it. And I've helped, hundreds and thousands of patients over the years, and it works. And, I perfected it. And it's drug-free. It's holistic. It's a little challenging, like anything else that I tell people. It's like, taking the stairs, but you can get there.
Yeah, I definitely want to dive into that. But real quick, I had one other kind of question that I wanted to touch on. We talk a lot about like how much sleep do we need? And I've heard a lot about, it's different for men, it's different for women based on hormonal cycles and different things. And then we also have the other side of sleep quality where people are oversleeping, but maybe not having good sleep quality. So when we kind of look at that, how much sleep do people really need? And how do we, and then we'll talk about the quality piece.
That's a great question, Caitlin. So adults, I get this asked every day. Adults needs about 7 to 8 hours of sleep, right? Okay. So children, like teenagers, needs 8 to 10, and younger children needs more than that. And babies, of course, need more than that because of their growth hormones and the brain to grow and the whole body to grow. You need that. But adults need about, 7 to 8 hours. So the judge here is if you sleep 8 hours consistently and you're still tired, you have a sleep problem. Mm-hmm. So if you're not sleeping 8 hours and then you're still tired, you have a sleep debt. It's very simple, right? So there's a little confusion here. There are some people who are called short sleepers, like Elon Musk, President Obama, President Trump, the high-achieving executives. I get counsels all the time. They come to my office, Dr. John, I only sleep 4 hours, 5 hours. I'm fine, but my family feels there's something wrong. I say, you're healed today, Mr. Jones. You can leave. You don't have that problem. You're a short sleeper. And they go, celebrating. But we don't have that. I require 7 hours. Most of us require about 7 to 8 hours. So we don't have that lottery. So again, those people feel better. The short sleepers feel better after that many hours. Then they're not tired the next day. So the general question, like most of us, is 8 hours, not even 7. I want 8 hours of sleep consistently for 2 weeks. And if you're still tired, you have a sleep problem.
Hmm. Yeah. As I'm thinking about that, I'm like, I sleep over 8 hours and I wake up at night. So I know I have a sleep problem.
So when I look at somebody, sleep is simple, but it's complicated. The two problems, either you sleep too much or you don't sleep too much. So if you sleep too much, you have to think about the condition called hypersomnia. This is an underappreciated condition. My book is in the advanced review and people are giving me reviews everywhere. Fortunately, I have 4 and 5, but the 4 say that, sir, that one chapter is very technical. I tell them, listen, when you see that person, it's like the biggest mystery they have solved. I wanted that chapter for that minority of people. It's called hypersomnia or narcolepsy, idiopathic hypersomnia, narcolepsy. These people too sleep too much. The other problem is in insomnia, you don't sleep enough. So then I ask, the way I approach it in a way is, do you have a medical problem or do you have a sleep disorder or you have a psychological problem? So like medical problems, you have to rule that out. Restless legs, limb movement disorder, COPD, or asthma or heart problem or diabetes, you're going to wake up multiple times, So then you come to sleep disorders like sleep apnea, which is a big one. Restless legs and awake stuff, you can go either way. And then there's some movement disorders like people function, they sleep, they act out, they dream. So you have a sleep problem. So that's how I come to a conclusion, which is probably you sleep too much, or you don't sleep much. So that's called insomnia.
Yeah.
Very simple approach.
Yeah, I love that because I think that we do complicate it so much, just like we complicate everything in society and our lives. But I love how you brought it. You really broke it down into there's kind of two sides. So with your approach, let's start going through that, kind of these seven proven sleep strategies. I'll let you kind of take it over and just explain this is the gold nugget of how we're going to move forward with sleep.
All right. So, I want all of you viewers to take it down. The acronym is called Sleep Now, SLEEPNOW, right? Mm-hmm. So the first is the S, is the schedule. We all need a plan. If your building needs a plan, you have to have a financial plan, you have to have, everything needs a plan to succeed. So the schedule is the most important thing. I tell people to sleep between 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., right? So the challenge is if you go to bed at 10 and you cannot fall asleep till midnight, most people, what do you think they do, Caitlin? They actually go to bed at 9. Now you're struggling 3 hours, right? So make sure if you're falling asleep at 11:30, try to go to bed around 11:30 so that you can fall asleep. But the key here is you have to wake up at 6 a.m., right? So most people, when they go through this program, this is about sleep restriction. And then what happens is they wake up, they snooze, you're releasing. I'm actually creating a sleep debt for those people. Right? You with me? Mm-hmm. So consistently. So the sleep schedule is, but if you have significant, mental illness, like bipolar disorder, the sleep restriction is not for you, right? Sleep mm-hmm. restriction is for otherwise healthy people who have insomnia, right? So that's the most important thing, schedule, and then once you start sleeping at 11:30, push it back to 11:15, 11, 10:45, move the clock, but always wake up at 6 a.m. So that's it.
Okay.
And no naps during this time. I love naps. Naps are beneficial, but when you're going through this, you don't have to have naps. Okay. Next is L, low light, low noise, low temperature, right? So melatonin means darkness. Mm-hmm. So melatonin is only secreted in darkness and low temperature. We're going to experiment between 65 to 70 degrees and keep the bedroom dark. And make sure, what has happened with after COVID, everybody started bringing their office to the home, from the home to the bedroom. So the light from the cell phone or the tablet or the computer without the ambient light is actually even more powerful. It's more powerful than, looking at your phone on a regular room, all right? So again, the use of our cell phone is a major problem. So next we're going to do the E.
Hang on, I want to interrupt really quick because I have one clarifying question. So the noise, what about, I know that noise machines have been a really big deal. Yes or no on noise machines?
Yes, noise machines are good. I'm talking about the noise if you sleep in a busy, close to an interstate or a railway track or traffic, if you know that intensity of noise.
Okay.
And so the noise machines are good. Sometimes, I've been having my fan all through my life. It's actually like takes out the background noise. I sleep with my fan on from my childhood. So, mm-hmm. That's the noise machine for me. So
okay.
The practical noise machine is great. So electronics is a major thing. Like I said, cell phone light, especially in the bedroom, is a problem. So if you are waking up and the first thing you are looking at your phone, that means you have a cell phone addiction, straightforward. We are all addicted to it. So I tell people to keep your phone away from your bed. I keep it in my bathroom. I set an alarm so I literally have to wake up and I don't hit the snooze button. And we wake up multiple times because of the sleep cycles. But then when we look at the phone or the clock, hey, it's only 3 o'clock. Hey, it's 3 o'clock. And then creates the sleep anxiety and worry. So it eliminates. I'm getting as I grow into the acronym, I'm giving things to calm your mind, getting it prepared for bed. It's a process. Remember, it's an art. You can't mm-hmm. hustle it. So there are many steps. So that, so that's about cell phones. So many reasons you not have it with you. And I tell people to get off your cell phone at least 30 minutes, ideally an hour, but at least 30 minutes prior to going to sleep. Just wean off it. That's the best thing. In my life, I go hard at cell phone from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Actually, my new resolution was to stay away from my phone by 7 p.m. I started in December. I'm doing great. By 7 o'clock, I'm done with phones. I don't answer anything. I don't even look at it. And before it was 9, it was 8. Now I've come to 7 p.m. So It's the greatest thing ever. As a book writer, a new book writer, everybody gives me a copy of my book. I give a copy, and I become a reader. You know, it's great. So next is exercise in the acronym SLEE. Exercise at least 4 hours prior to go to sleep. Many reasons. Exercise produces, it's thermogenic. It makes heat. Remember, I said temperature is not good for sleeping. So, you know, melatonin is secreted at lower temperature. If you have to exercise, make sure at least 4 hours prior to going to sleep. I exercise in the morning, the first thing after brush my teeth. I go exercise. That's the perfect time. You don't want heat, and also it creates endorphins, which are stimulatory. So that's you have to watch for that. So now we're going to P. It's called powering off your mind. So you have a chance to heal your body by not exercising, not revving it up. And then I've also taken down the electronics, so you are in a better frame of mind. You lay down, and I think this is my own technique. It's called vivid imagination. So what we take is we take reality into our bedroom. But I want people to be an abstract. Sleep is an abstract. I've been practicing this for more than 25, 30 years. I start thinking about something that I saw or something, not the real thing. This is totally I'm the director of my show. And I start thinking, oh, sometimes I just ease into sleep. This is the perfect, not many people have talked about it. Probably I'm the first guy I even trademarked this for sleeping vivid imagination. And so the next thing I tell people is called yoga nidra. And it's a very ancient Indian art. You just lay down like a corpse, push your palms up, and then just nidra means nothingness. It's a deep Sanskrit word. You just are nothing. But you can only do, remember, for the few things you've done, you can't just go and, you know, be on your phone, answer it, and then you can't do it. So then also I combine cognitive behavioral therapy. I start thinking people about the scalp and all the muscles, and then you're done by the time you imagine. And use your vivid imagination and yoga need to within 5 minutes, you're asleep.
Love it.
So next is NO, is the acronym NO is no to worries. So I tell people no to worries in bed. I tell people to worry. We all worry because of the life we live. But I tell people to worry between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. That's your scheduled worrying time. So I do it in my own life. I was preparing for your show. I looked at your email yesterday. I didn't know where it was. I found it. I refreshed it. I got it ready. Click. I'm ready. So I resolve. You know, if I can't resolve, I write it down. You know, there's no big deal. The sun is going to rise tomorrow. So I don't take it to my bed. Is a safe place. You know, most people has become like a torture chamber. You know, remember, bedroom is only for sex and sleeping. Most people are either snoring or they're worrying. You know, so you're taking everything to bed. And then last is W is win by losing yourself, right? So this is contrary to the win-win-win, you know, win-win culture. Here you have to literally lose yourself into bed. You're not going to lay in bed and win about everything. Hey, I want to solve this problem. No, I want you to be the abstract. So this is the aim. You know, I've perfected this for over all these years. So Sleep Now acronym, SLEEP-NOW, schedule, low light, low noise, low temperature, and no to electronics in bed, exercise, no to exercise 4 hours prior, powering off your mind, and then no to worries and win by losing. So this is the proven sleep strategies that I mentioned in my book.
Love
and
it.
Also developed a Sleep Now course at my website, Sleep Fix Academy. So this is it. It's very hard. People call. They're so upset with me the first 2 weeks. But then I see them I usually see them in a month. They're like my friends. They say, wow. I also make people to write a journal. It's called Sleep Journal and also Sleep Assessment. All these are available on my website. So I've seen people when they write it down and they're able to see what time they took the caffeine. My daughter used to drink macchiato at around 7 p.m. when she was, and then she can't sleep. I said, duh. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes this caffeine can last up to 12 hours. So, and people drink alcohol close to bed. So they're able to see too much alcohol. What happens is alcohol is a diuretic, makes you use the restroom at night. There's also metabolizes into acetaldehyde, which wakes you up. It's a chemical. That's why you're hungover. So when they're able to see everything and they take a nap. See, when you're in this process, you're not supposed to take a nap. I'm trying to create a sleep. So everything is an eye-opener. It is beautiful. And I can see how their sleep, everything improves after 2 weeks. So 2 weeks is hard. They don't like themselves. They don't like me. They're upset with me. But I said, How about now? They're like, wow, Dr. John, you healed me. So, you know, this is called consolidated sleep. It is within us. We just have to find it, you know, mm-hmm. give it a rent. You have to, you know, it's like one of those puzzles. You have to go in there and find it. You can't just see society and modern times. We think there is an answer to it. There's an answer to all the problems, but sleep, you have, you, there's no answer. Mm-hmm. So there is nothing. You have to. So that balances the yin and the yang. So I go, I mean, I'm really energized to go through the day. And then I start ready to go to bed by, you know, I mean, preparing myself by 8 p.m. to get ready for my 10. I can't wait to hit the bed. You know, I turn on my imagination, I'm out.
Yeah. I love this. I think I'm like over here writing notes and, you know, the first one, the schedule, I was like, man, I am that person that hits the snooze button because I have a little child alarm, not just my own alarm. So I have a little one. But I think that I can see how people would push back, but I feel like you've hit everything in this acronym of really that's important that can I love that you take out the thought of like people having to create their own sleep hygiene idea and nighttime routine and all this stuff. Like it's very cut and dry of like, these are the things
very
you do.
Simple.
Yeah. I love that.
By the time they see me, they have 7 rituals, this thing, that thing, you know, all these things.
Yeah.
It's not like that. And you know, people listen to this app, but you're bringing the phone with you onto your bed. And then a message comes, you have to answer that. So I don't mind people doing the Calm app or, but leave it outside. When you come to the bedroom, you are the king. You have to reclaim the power. Everybody's afraid of the sleep thing. They're like, you know, they're worried. It's like watering a plant, too much of it. You're just killing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you're all in the heightened state. You should not be like, you lay down, sleep. You know, you are the controller of sleep. You don't need to be afraid of it.
Yeah. And I love that. And I want to highlight one of the things you said, because I feel like, especially where you're saying that people with COVID and everything are bringing, you know, everything else into the bedroom. I think you hit on such an important piece of like, the bed is for sex and sleeping. Like, that's it. We don't bring anything else into it, because then you're not protecting that space. Like you're saying, where you are only having 2 jobs at different times, right? Of like why you're there. That's such an important piece. And I love that you highlighted that.
Yeah, COVID has caused it. There's something called coronasomnia, just the fear of COVID. Hey, I have COVID. That person coughed on me. Maybe I have COVID. Maybe they have COVID. That has created more anxiety. So it has got its own name. It's called coronasomnia. Cannot sleep because of the fear of COVID. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's COVID has brought a lot of really interesting things with mental health and sleep, which obviously impacts it. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. I feel like we've talked about so many things, and I'm curious if you could just highlight kind of we touched on kind of the mental health aspect of things, but when we go to the idea of like executive and cognitive function, we kind of highlighted that, but can you talk a little bit more about how sleep really impacts that?
That's a great question. So I have a chapter for it, but I'm going to summarize this. So you know, imagine there's like what the learning process is so many different things, pieces of all the blocks. So when you sleep, you're able to arrange all that in an organized manner. So that's what memory consolidation happens. You know, it happens in, you know, stage 3 and also in REM sleep, the consolidation. See, that's why, you know, I used to suffer from insomnia by being in med school. And I found out, you know, if you take rest and, you know, when you're prepared, too much preparation on the last day, you're bad. Your performance is actually lower than I figured that out. I used to suffer from situational anxiety and insomnia because of exams. So I know how it is. So it helps with the memory consolidation and recall. You know, lack of sleep is almost like being drunk. You're not able to process things while you're tired and groggy, and then you reach for your caffeine. So that's how it helps to prepare for the mental function. And cognitive function, and also if you have conditions like sleep apnea, you know, years of sleep apnea lowers the oxygen and destroys the areas of the brain that is important for memory. And, you know, this is one of the treatable or, you know, causes of dementia. You can halt that process by addressing severe sleep apnea. So that's another thing when you talk about, cognition, memory, and executive function.
Wow. I feel like I'm just sitting here, you know, again, like I said at the beginning, we talk about and have this idea of like, yeah, we know sleep is important, but talking with you, like really highlighting, like sleep is like vital. There's no kind of like, we have to figure it out for our health and to make sure our bodies are able to function.
Yes. So, you know, sleep affects all parts of the body, heart. When you have an apnea, the heart has to back up and, you know, you have a norepinephrine release and then that can trigger an arrhythmia. So, you know, if you have people have uncontrolled high blood pressure, same phenomenon happens with diabetes. Those are the things you have to go and address sleep apnea. People who are reading my book are all running to their primary care doctors and saying, hey, I need to do this, I need to do that. So I'm so excited to see the far-reaching effect of what I've done. That's what I wanted to do when I see this problem. See, I want to do something to this world. The world needs to heal. We are all hyped up, and I can only imagine the election year. This year, we need our rest, mm-hmm. and we need to sleep better. So that was my aim, I'm excited what the future brings. And the irony is there are not many people talking about this, mm-hmm. because all the experts are busy, and it's taken me a lot of time and effort to do what I'm doing mm-hmm. and to promote this. But the good news is everybody is becoming aware of it, mm-hmm. So I think there may be a sleep revolution, and I'm trying to light a fire to create the sleep revolution among people.
I love that. Well, Bijoy, it was so incredibly amazing speaking with you. I feel like you shared so much helpful information. So thank you so much. And for our guests, thank you. I know your time is valuable and I appreciate you spending it here with us. I'm going to put all of Bijoy's information in the episode notes so that you can grab that book, check out all the sleep assessments and things he was talking about, and reach out to him with any questions you have. Because I know you said you do online consultations. So anywhere people can reach out to you.
I can't do, because of the license, I can't.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha.
but people can visit my website, Sleep Tips Academy, and, take the course and do the assessment and find out the problem and reach out to their doctors.
Got it. Okay.
So I've discovered this joy. I struggle, because I was suffering from grief when my mom died as a small business owner and the stress of all this, but I'm able to find a way. And I'm implementing it with my family, with my patients for years, and I'm perfecting it. And it works, really, it works. Mm-hmm. I sleep really well, and everybody in my family and all my patients are able to sleep better because, how I approach it is you have a sleep problem, you have a medical problem, you have a psychological problem, or you just have insomnia, you just can't turn it off. Mm-hmm. So all my background experience in the ICU as a regular doctor and a lung doctor and, all these experiences have, helped me to write this book and give it to the world. So I'm mm-hmm. hopeful people will be touched by it and discover their own power.
Good. Perfect. Well, I'm excited to read it. And even without licensing, Bijoy's book is a great place to start. So check that out. Grab it in the episode notes. And again, Bijoy, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Caitlin. It was great talking with you.
Thank you for hanging out with me on the Abundance Alchemist podcast. Don't forget to head over and grab your free self-love activation meditation at theabundancealchemist.com and hit subscribe here so you don't miss a thing. Until next time, sending you so much love.